This is the message from Connection Community Church for Palm Sunday, March 29th, 2026. Crossroads, the way of Jesus in the crosshairs.
Wow. What a powerful way to start the message this morning. Good morning. Hi, Connection family. And happy Palm Sunday. Does anybody actually believe that it's Palm Sunday already? It's here, and we are so glad that you are here with us this morning, so glad that you are here, and we are continuing in this series about the crossroads, and it has been such an amazing journey. We began this journey at the beginning of Lent, and we've been on this road with Jesus all the way up until today. Palm Sunday. And so whether this is your first day getting to be a part of this series or you've been with us for parts of this journey, we're going to start today with a quick refresh so we can see where we've been and kind of get a little bit of a glimpse of where we're headed. So we started this crossroads journey with the crossroads of decision, as Jesus asked his followers to deny themselves and take up their cross to follow him. That was week one. The next week, we talked about being crossed out, and that was a really powerful message on forgiveness. We cannot hear about forgiveness too much, can we? So good. The next week, we talked about times when we feel cross-eyed, and Jesus' teachings on anxiousness and worry. We never struggle with that, right? After that, we had the fabulous speaker, Reverend Grace Lucas. If you were here that Sunday, it was a powerful, amazing Sunday when she talked about how we can make disciples with people who we cross paths with, everyday disciples. It was such an inspiring, awesome message from her. And then last week, David helped us as we looked at times when sometimes we get our wires a little bit crossed when it comes to things like our priorities, our pride, our motives. It's been quite the journey. We have been on this road and covered a lot in a very short amount of time, lots of different crosses to bear. And today we're going to look at one more cross as we're headed on this journey. And I can't help but feel the need just to let you know that this one is especially weighty. It's going to be a little uncomfortable. Get ready. Today, we're looking at what it felt like for Jesus to be in those crosshairs that Palm Sunday, as he entered Jerusalem and all that building pressure and persecution that he faced. You ready? Before we fully dive in, let's pray. Jesus, thank you for today. Thank you for that Palm Sunday when you did what you did for us, and you began this week with such a statement. God, I pray as we dive into this today and really examine Palm Sunday that you would examine our hearts and you would speak to us and you would move us into action. Amen. So when we talk about being in the crosshairs, I can't help but also think about the idea of being the center of attention. Right? When you're in those crosshairs, it's like all eyes on you. And so not everybody likes to be the center of attention. Anybody out there like it? Anybody like to be? You can admit it. It's fine. Nobody likes to be the center of attention. Well, some people, actually like it. And some people, most people, probably prefer to live a majority of their life under the radar. Maybe a wallflower in social situations. But some people thrive on being in that center of attention and that release of dopamine they might get when all eyes are on them. So whichever side of the spectrum you find yourself in, even if any of you out there didn't want to admit it, you probably have a reason for feeling the way you feel about attention. Probably have one. Maybe it was something that you experienced in childhood and it was a moment that made you like super embarrassed and you just wanted to like run away and hide and retreat and never feel that way again. So you hate being the center of attention. Or maybe for some of you, you experienced something that made you feel validated, made you feel seen, made you feel like, oh, like, they get me, they see me, and it made you want to feel that feeling more and replicate it. There could honestly be like a million reasons why you feel the way you feel in social situations and being the center of attention. But whatever the case, some people like it, some people don't. And between David and myself, Can you guess which one doesn't like to be the center of attention, and which one joined the cheerleading squad just so she could perform every Friday night at the football stadium? Some people after first service were like, David, I didn't know you were a cheerleader. He wasn't. No matter how much you enjoy the spotlight, speaking a little from experience also, I can guarantee this one thing. Nobody, and I mean nobody, enjoys that spotlight, enjoys being that center of attention for something that's bad or something they've done wrong. Nobody likes to have all eyes, all attention on them when they've been accused for something or people are talking about them in negative ways. If they're being accused of that and they have that feeling, you know that feeling, when you're just stuck there in those crosshairs and everybody's looking at you. It's that feeling, that tension, those whispers, people talking about you, judging you, making up wrong assumptions about you. Nobody likes that kind of attention. So the phrase we're using today, caught in the crosshairs, Google defines it really well as meaning being the specific target of intense scrutiny, attack, or pressure from opposing authorities. It's a pretty great definition, and in fact, I think that's a pretty great definition for Palm Sunday. I mean, if that definition doesn't fit Palm Sunday, I don't know what does. But before we look at exactly what happened in Matthew 21 on Palm Sunday, we're going to zoom out a little bit. We're going to look at what is going on around this time. What is all of the different factors? Because I feel like we really need to understand the gravity of what is unfolding, of this situation. And we've got to look at what is leading up to this point. So Jesus is in this extreme kind of scrutiny. He really is caught in those crosshairs. And I think maybe even more than we really get, than we understand. So take a little trip with me. If you remember, during this time, political, social, and religious pressures, they're at this all-time high in Jesus' time. The people of Judea were under strict oppression. They had this oppressiveness from the Roman government, and the Romans kept their order with military force and heavy taxation. Many people were hoping and praying and waiting for a political Messiah. They were wanting a militaristic hero who was going to come in and overthrow Rome. Jesus knew that. He was aware of it, and that's why, after he fed the 5,000, like we just saw today, after he fed the 5,000 on the hillside, people began to whisper, and they began to be like, oh, dude, that's the guy. I think that's the guy we're waiting for. And so John tells us, when Jesus hears these rumblings, this is what he does. Jesus, knowing that they intended to come and make him king by force, withdrew away to a mountain by himself. It's John 6:15. Jesus knew it's not time yet. This is not a good idea. Don't tell anybody who I am. See, any popular leader who would be gaining attention and drawing large crowds at this time would have been seen as a threat. A pretty big threat. And maybe even a potential rebel to the Roman government. And remember, this was especially the case because what holiday is coming up? Where are they going to celebrate? Passover. And so they are going to celebrate in this season. Just wrap your minds around to this. The threat is real as the people are celebrating what? Liberation from another oppressor. The city is filled with people celebrating Passover and what that means. And thousands, if not hundreds of thousands, of people are journeying into Jerusalem to celebrate that. It's a little bit of a threat. Another thing we know about this time is that the conflict was growing bigger and bigger between the religious leaders and Jesus. The things that Jesus was teaching, they were directly contradicting what the Pharisees and the Sadducees were teaching, how they were living their lives, and how they interpreted the law. And if you remember, these religious leaders had seen Jesus do some wild things in their books. They'd seen Jesus heal people on the Sabbath, right? They'd seen Jesus hang out with sinners, eat with them. Jesus even openly rebuked the Pharisees. Like in Matthew 23, Jesus says to the Pharisees, "Woe to you, teachers of the law and Pharisees, you hypocrites. You are like whitewashed tombs who look beautiful on the outside, but on the inside are full of bones of the dead and everything unclean. In the same way, on the outside, you appear to people as righteous, but on the inside, you are full of hypocrisy and wickedness." Ouch. I wouldn't like somebody that said that about me. So those tensions, they're growing. They're building. All of this is happening. And then we cannot forget the one final inciting moment. The ultimate trigger right before Passover was the very public and very amazing miracle of Jesus raising Lazarus from the dead. We got to see that in the video today too. Can I just say that as we were preparing for this week, Barry started making that video before I had even started working on this message. So it's not an accident that that part was in there. This miracle was so public and so big, and it was such a major display of divine authority that Jesus had, that it began to spark some things. And for some people, it sparked their belief in who Jesus was, and it was growing, and that's the guy. But for the religious leaders, it sparked fear that a revolt was really coming, that something big was gonna happen. And so after this miracle, the religious leaders, they gathered, and this is when they began to plot to kill Jesus. So what's Jesus, what does he do? John 11 says, "Therefore Jesus no longer moved about publicly among the people of Judea. Instead, he withdrew to a region near the wilderness, to a village called Ephraim, where he stayed with his disciples." Again, not quite the right time. We're gonna wait, not yet. But see, Passover was coming, and the chief priests, they were ready. They wanted to catch Jesus amidst all the festivities that were happening. And so John continues telling us that the Pharisees, they kept looking and looking for Jesus, and they stood in the temple courts, and they asked one another, "What do you think? Isn't he coming to the festival at all?" But the chief priests and the Pharisees had given orders that anyone who found out where Jesus was should report it so that they might arrest him. So it's with all of this tension, all of this anger, all of these feelings, everything building up more and more and more, the miracles, the animosity between everybody, that Jesus does the most daring thing at the height of all of this tension. Just days after raising Lazarus, there's a couple, people don't know exactly how many days, but just days after raising Lazarus, Jesus enters Jerusalem on a donkey. That's the time. Anybody feel like they understand that pressure a little bit more now? That tension around that? That idea that, I don't know, I feel like we need to kind of take like a deep breath, like, wow, a lot is happening. And like, we know that this is just the beginning, that this is how Holy Week is starting. And it's starting up here with this pressure and this tension. And so when we look at it, we know this week doesn't end well. We know where it's headed. Like this simple parade down the middle of town on a donkey is not just a simple parade. It's a death march. And yet, that's what Jesus does. He chooses that time to do what he did on Palm Sunday. He rides into Jerusalem amidst the chaos and the tension in that climate that is so full of turmoil. He rides right into the thick of it willingly. Now that you've got that kind of perspective, let's look at Palm Sunday, Matthew 21, through the lens of what we know now. The disciples went and did as Jesus had instructed them. They brought the donkey and the colt, and they placed their cloaks on them for Jesus to sit on. A very large crowd spread their cloaks on the road, while others cut branches from the trees and spread them on the road. The crowds that went ahead of him and those that followed shouted, "Hosanna to the Son of David! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord! Hosanna in the highest of heaven!" When Jesus entered Jerusalem, the whole city was stirred and asked, "Who is this?" The crowds answered, "This is Jesus, the prophet from Nazareth in Galilee." This was a big deal. Are we beginning to wrap our heads around just how big of a deal it was? This moment was provocative. This moment was serious. It's not just a fun little parade. This is dangerous. Many things in this moment of Palm Sunday are coming to a head, that they're building and they're growing, that when we just think of it as a simple donkey ride, we miss the whole point. Everything from the choice of transportation to the cloaks to the words that the people are shouting all carry heavy significance. So for starters, Zechariah 9 says, "Rejoice greatly, daughter of Zion. Shout, daughter Jerusalem. See, your king comes to you, righteous and victorious, lowly and riding on a donkey, a colt, the foal of the donkey. He will proclaim peace to the nations." The choice to ride a donkey was prophesied way back. It's right there. Jesus does this. He rides this donkey to fulfill that scripture that this is the king. And everybody expected this king to be righteous and victorious, right? What do kings ride on? Not a donkey. Kings ride with their horsemen and their horses and their chariots. But here comes Jesus, who is going to be that righteous and victorious king for them, but in a completely different way. Jesus comes in the most lowly, humble, unexpected way on a donkey. He doesn't come as that political leader or that knight in shining armor leading them to war, but he comes as a servant leader proclaiming peace. And the palms and the cloaks, you can find accounts of Palm Sunday in all four of the Gospels, and they're all a little bit different, but one thing they have in common is that action of laying the cloaks down on the road. Why? Why would people be willingly dirtying their precious cloaks? Well, we can look at the Old Testament again and see another time when a king was being appointed. In 2 Kings, the Lord anointed Jehu as king over Israel. And check out the people's response. 2 Kings 9:13, "They quickly took their cloaks and spread them under him on the bare steps. Then they blew the trumpet and shouted, 'Jehu is king.'" This practice of laying down their cloaks is acknowledging who Jesus is. It's another way of saying Jesus is that true King of Kings. I'm telling you, it all goes together. It's so awesome. The last thing, what did the crowd shout? Hosanna, right? Matthew 21:9 says, "Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest heaven." Even what these people were shouting carries weight. Hosanna, translated into English, means "please save us," or "save us, we pray." So these words, they carried a lot of weight because they were confirming who Jesus was, but they were also shouts of a cry for salvation. Save us, please, we pray, save us. John Wesley, he's the founder of the Methodist movement. He has a really interesting way that he talks about this moment, where he says that as the people were shouting, they may have been shouting in what he calls a divine impulse. He says that many of them may not have even been fully aware of why they were shouting what they were shouting, but they knew this man was different. So I hope that this perspective now kind of shows you what Palm Sunday really, what it carried, what it meant. Hopefully you now have a unique, maybe terrifying view of what this was, because this Palm Sunday What Jesus is doing here is the first public and organized declaration of his identity. Think about that. There had been whispers of Jesus saying who he was to his friends or to some of his followers, but this is the first public act where his identity as the messianic king is completely revealed. All in his timing. Jesus waited to reveal himself so that he could spend as much time teaching and preaching, because he knew his enemies were going to be like, okay, you're done. He had to wait for just the right moment. And so Palm Sunday, those doors are thrown open wide, and Jesus confirms everybody's suspicions and hopes. Here is the one who's going to save them. Here is the one that they have been waiting for. You know, I think that we can read this year after year, and we can examine it. We can dig in. We really dug in pretty good this morning with what this means. But as I was preparing and praying this week, I was thinking, and the question that really came to me is why? Like, why would Jesus do this like this? People had already been kind of whispering about him. He could have just been like, okay, yeah, keep it going. He could have just continued to fly under that radar. Why would Jesus tell everybody, okay, it's not time. Okay, I'm going to go separate myself. Okay, don't say anything yet. Why would he keep doing that? And then at the height of all the chaos, in the most tense and foreboding time, then expose who he is. Does that make any sense? And so I kept asking myself, why? Why would he do this at this time? I think we know the answer. Because Jesus is love. Jesus is bold. Jesus is okay with being a little bit dangerous. And so, if you and I want to be like Jesus, are we okay with being those things too? Are we okay with being that love? Are we okay being bold? Are we okay with being a little bit dangerous? Kevin KB Burgess, you might have heard of him before. He goes by KB. He is a Christian rapper and an author. He wrote the song The Church Clap. Guys, yeah. He wrote that song. And he also wrote a book in 2023 called Dangerous Jesus. And let me tell you, I will be the first to admit that I do not really enjoy reading. But when I found that book this week, I bought it and I started reading it, and I'm already like 3 chapters in. So it's like a big deal. Take that for what it is. This book is called Dangerous Jesus. And in it, he talks about how Jesus was not merely this safe, comforting figure, but Jesus was a disruptive force. Jesus challenged the status quo. In it, he writes, somewhere along the way, we traded following Jesus for creating a tame, moldable, silent Jesus who doesn't mind following us. The church's waning influence on culture is directly connected to Jesus's waning influence on the church. Ouch. I don't think we talk about Jesus like this enough. I don't think we talk about the dangerous side of Jesus, that bold side, enough. And I think that if we don't, we miss the point. We miss the impact of a day like Palm Sunday when we just think it's this nice, gentle Jesus riding on a donkey. We miss it all. And we, like Jesus, you and I, we are called to that same kind of danger. We are called to follow God when it's hard or when it's dangerous, even when we want to run away scared. And I think for a lot of us in modern day America, we don't really have a category for religious persecution. Like, let's be honest, we don't really get it. But our friends in India, they get it. Our brothers and sisters in sub-Saharan Africa, where Christianity is growing at some of the highest rates we've seen, some of those countries up to 70% growth. And that's among persecution from large Islamic extremist groups. They get it. But you and I, we're too ashamed to wear that t-shirt with the Bible verse on it. We tuck our cross necklaces in our shirts when we hang out with certain people. We can't be bothered to offer to pray with somebody we meet who's struggling, even if we know them, right there on the spot, because it's too hard and we're just too embarrassed. Guys, following Jesus is anything but safe. It's anything but easy. If you signed up for safe and easy, you are in the wrong place. Following Jesus isn't safe and it isn't easy, but following Jesus is everything. Everything. And so I want to share with you one impactful story as I close out our message today. And this, when I read this, it like totally wrecked me. And I couldn't even read it without crying. I teared up in the first service, so we'll see what happens in the second. But in the foreword of this book, Dangerous Jesus, another Christian author and artist, Jackie Hill Perry, if you've heard of her, she's awesome. She writes the foreword to the book, Dangerous Jesus. And in it, she tells a story. And I'm going to read that to you now. Jackie is having this conversation with a woman who has been a Christian missionary in Turkey for over 20 years. And Jackie finds herself with this lady, and she wants to know, she asks her, what is Christianity like in Istanbul versus America? Jackie just wanted to know. So the lady began to tell Jackie a story about a specific Sunday, an Easter Sunday. Leading up to that particular Sunday, anti-Christian groups were threatening to storm churches across the city with weapons and rage. These groups had planned to kill everyone in the congregations, including this woman, her husband, and her two kids. So, the family, they gathered together one night to discuss this danger and everything that was headed their way. Of course, they felt fear and anxiety and worry, like, this is the biggest of big deals. And they felt that need that they needed to make a plan. And the first thing they thought was really like, we could just stay home from church that day. Right? If the threat is there, well, then I'll just stay home. But that would have been the safest plan of action. You know, because nobody would get shot. Nobody would lose a life. Nobody would have to mourn a huge massacre. But the lady goes on to tell Jackie, staying home would have been the easy tactic. So they kept praying, kept leaning in. And this lady says she remembered exactly what this specific Sunday, Easter Sunday, meant. As she considered the men threatening to bring their guns to her church and what it might mean to her own body and the bodies of those that she wanted to remain alive, this lady sensed the Spirit of God say, do you really believe in the resurrection? The all-wise God, through his Spirit, unveiled this irony to her. Resurrection Sunday has always been a dangerous one. So this lady and her family, they decided to go to church that morning. And as they showed up, they scanned the room and they looked around. They realized every single member of their church was there. They were there that morning. That congregation was there, and they were ready to sing or to die. In their case, either way was worship. The rage and the weapons ended up not coming that day. Everybody was spared, but those people were ready, like Jesus on that resurrection Sunday. Are we ready? Because I don't really think we are. Stories like that, we read them, and they're so inspiring, and they're so sobering, but they're so distant. They're foreign to us. Most of us aren't in danger of being murdered any given Sunday. But I want to challenge it with the danger that we're in is sometimes the danger we are to ourselves. The danger we create when we play it too safe. The danger that we fall into when we simplify and prune Jesus into just this fragile, compliant, handsome, nice guy. KB also adds, their author of the book, who is in more danger, the persecuted or the comfortable? The persecuted or the comfortable? So I want to encourage you this week, Holy Week. I know we took this a completely different direction than you thought we were going to take Palm Sunday, but be bold. Be different. Be dangerous, like Jesus, through the empowerment and the help of the Holy Spirit, right? Love when it's hard, when it's inconvenient. Say that thing. Be that bold person. Be that person in the workplace that anybody can come to because they just know something's different about you. Right? Reach out to that neighbor. Offer to pray with somebody who's struggling. Like, it's really not that hard. We're not being persecuted, but I think we are a little too comfortable. So, yeah, that's right. We gotta get out there. And so I want to challenge you to ask yourself this week, as we head into a Holy Week, and maybe this is going to be a Holy Week for you unlike any other. I hope so, because I hope today has kind of set you thinking a little bit different. But I want you to think about this. Think about, where in my life am I letting fear hold me back from following Jesus right into those crosshairs? Where am I letting fear do that when that pressure is on? You can ask yourself, am I willing to boldly serve Jesus? Like, why am I here? Am I influencing the world, or am I letting the world influence me? Ask yourself, am I just playing it too safe? God, where can I step out? Where can I just be a little bold? I don't have to be extra bold like Emily, but where can I just be a little bit more bold? Where are you calling me to go? We've got a hurting world out there. We've got a comfortable world out there that we need to shake up a little bit. We need to get a little bit dangerous. So we're gonna pray. We're going to worship with a really powerful song at the end here. And I just want you to know that the altar is always open. We're always here to pray with you. But I want you to sit in those questions this week. Let's pray. Wow, Jesus, you did all of that for us. You willingly sent yourself right into those crosshairs. And we are forever grateful. We realize that there's nothing we could ever do to earn that. But God, I pray that you would reveal to our hearts, what are you calling us to do? How are you calling us to boldness? How are you calling us to reach those around us? God, you've done this for us and it's beautiful. Help us to share that with those around us. Help us not to play it too safe. Help us to get out there, God. Thank you for Easter. Thank you for loving us. Amen.
Thank you for listening to the message from Connection Community Church. For more information and to find out more about our ministries, you can visit us on our website at justshowup.church. You can also call our church offices at 302-378-7692. Thanks again for listening. Connection Community Church, connecting people to Jesus and the new life he offers.